Good morning. I'm Pastor Joel. As we all continue to figure out how to navigate these uncharted waters during the COVID-19 pandemic, the members of Namekagon Congregational UCC in Earle continue to practice social distancing, and we limit our gathering for our safety and our community's safety. While we continue to worship together on Zoom, we also broadcast our message here on Muskie 101 every Sunday at 10:30 a.m., so those without computers or high-speed internet can join us. Today's scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church, and if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. Two brothers living on adjoining farms fell into conflict after 40 years of working together. It began with a small misunderstanding and grew to a major difference, and finally exploded in an exchange of bitter words, followed by weeks of silence. One morning, there was a knock on the older son's door. He opened it to find a man with a carpenter's toolbox. "I'm looking for a few days' work," he said. "Perhaps you would have a few small jobs here and there that I could help with." "Yes," he said, "I do have a job for you. Look across the creek at the farm. That's my younger brother. Last week there was a meadow between us, and he took his bulldozer out and dug a creek between us. I'm going to do him one better. See that pile of old lumber? I want you to build an 8-foot-high fence between us so I can't see his farm or his face anymore." The carpenter said, "Show me the nails and the tools, and I'll do a good job for you." The older brother went to town for the day, and when he returned at sunset, his eyes opened wide and his jaw dropped. There was no fence at all. Instead, the carpenter had built a bridge stretching from one side of the creek to the other, handrails and all. His younger brother came toward them with an outstretched hand. "You're quite the guy," he said, "after all I've said and done." The two brothers met in the middle and shook each other's hand. And when they saw the carpenter leaving, they said, "Wait, stay a few days. We have other projects for you." "I'd love to," the carpenter said, "but I have many more bridges to build." Today's scripture reading will tell us that Jesus loves building bridges. And he provides a model for restoration, and it makes clear that one who refuses to repent when faced with his sin is to be treated as an outsider. Not to be excluded, but as an outsider that needs to be ministered to. Our goal must be to build a bridge in every circumstance, bridges between Christ and the lost, and bridges between struggling brothers and sisters in the church. There's a website on the internet, because there's a website for everything, devoted to chronicling passive-aggressive notes. Now, passive-aggressive notes are the notes you leave your roommate or your neighbor or your coworker about something they're doing that you don't like. A note on the office refrigerator, for example, that says, "Jerry, I know you're stealing my lunch." Or a note posted on a neighbor's door saying, "I heard you playing loud music at 11:02 p.m. last night. You're keeping everyone in the neighborhood up." These little notes are anonymous, patronizing, and probably ineffective. They're passive-aggressive because the note writer won't go talk to the other party directly, instead leaving a note for the other person to find. In our gospel reading today, Jesus has some instructions about how Christians ought to behave, and it doesn't include sending passive-aggressive notes. Jesus says, if another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. It's an escalating series of responses, but look at how it begins. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point it out. Go point that fault out when the two of you are alone. If you have a grievance, if your fellow Christian is gossiping about you or spreading false rumors or cheated or defrauded you or stole your lunch out of the office refrigerator, Jesus tells you to go and talk to the person directly. Address the problem in private, face to face. There are two major effects of following this instruction. First of all, if you go talk to the person privately, you're not publicly shaming them. You're giving them a chance to change their behavior without subjecting them to the court of public opinion. Now, Jesus' instructions do involve taking the matter to the whole community if that becomes necessary, but it doesn't start out that way. It starts with a private conversation between two parties. The other effect of meeting face-to-face is that you can't be anonymous. You can't hide behind anonymity or a vague "some people think." You have to be honest and speak for yourself. These instructions can be hard to follow. It's painful to hear someone say, "You have wronged me." And it's often painful even to look someone in the eye and say, "You have wronged me." Many of us, especially the conflict adverse, would rather skirt around the issue and avoid talking about it. Sigh and roll our eyes and leave passive-aggressive notes, hoping the other person will get the hint. We stew in our resentment until it is insufferable, until it boils over in some spectacular way. But Jesus is telling us how Christians ought to behave. We should be honest, forthright, and direct. And being direct isn't the same as being rude or harsh, though it may feel that way. Being direct means standing behind what you say, not relying on anonymity or passive aggression to get what you want. Being direct means addressing a disagreement face to face, looking the other person in the eye. As Christians, we are called to address disagreements in this way, directly and honestly. If being direct, speaking face-to-face, fails, then Jesus tells us to involve some other members of the community. And notice, these other people are supposed to be witnesses, neutral third parties. It's not about getting together a gang of people who will agree with you to bully the other party into submission. They're more like arbiters, holding both parties accountable and bearing witness to what is said. If those witnesses aren't enough to bring about reconciliation, then the whole community gets involved. And if the offending party still won't listen, then Jesus says, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Before I go on, let me say one thing about that line. In the most extreme case, Jesus says, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. But from the perspective of the church, who are the Gentiles and the tax collectors? They are the mission field of the church. They are the people the church is supposed to be reaching and ministering to. So even in the most extreme case, when someone is removed from the community, there is still the possibility of reconciliation, the opportunity for that person to come back into the community. One would argue that they don't even have to be expelled from the community. They just need more ministering to. Through this whole passage, Jesus is telling us how Christian community ought to be, how we ought to treat each other. We fall far short of that standard. When we should speak to someone directly, how often do we instead complain behind the person's back? When we should speak honestly about a disagreement, how often do we exaggerate to support our case on one hand, or silently stew in our resentment on the other? when we should resolve a conflict one-on-one, how often do we enlist allies to our side to gang up on our opponent? The instructions in Matthew 18 challenge us to be better as individuals and as a community. They challenge us to be more honest, to be more forthright, more fair. They challenge us to resolve our conflicts and disagreements in a way that is difficult, but ultimately healthier and more Christian. In Matthew 18, Jesus is telling us how Christians should treat one another, especially in the face of conflict or wrongdoing. There are a few verses from Romans, the book of Romans, which we've explored the last couple of weeks, that express a similar sentiment, where Paul writes, "Owe no one anything except to love one another. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." I said earlier that being direct isn't the same as being mean, and likewise, love is not the same as niceness. Loving one another doesn't mean avoiding conflict. Loving our neighbor requires us to be honest and forthright. And sometimes loving our neighbor requires us to address disagreements. Paul goes on to say, "Let us lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day." Let us live honorably as in the day. Let us live our lives in a way that is honest and forthright. No complaining behind someone's back. No gossiping or bullying. No anonymous complaints. No passive-aggressive notes. Rather, we should live with integrity and consistency, willing to speak the truth and stand by what we say. To me, this is the core of the readings we've heard today. We shouldn't act and speak one way in private and in another way in public. We shouldn't act friendly to someone while disparaging them behind their back. We shouldn't offer anonymous criticisms we aren't willing to say directly to someone's face. We see this as we enter this season in our lives, as we get closer to November. We just see a time where we are so polarized as a community, all over the place. And today's passage really calls us to come back together, to find that bridge instead of that wall, that fence. Living this way, living honorably, as Paul says, is not easy. We all fall short of it. But we should still aim for this standard. We should strive to behave this way, not only because Jesus told us to, though that's a good reason in itself, but because of what Jesus says at the end of today's gospel reading, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." Jesus tells us how we should behave as Christians, and then Jesus tells us that he is present with us. Whenever two or three are gathered, Jesus is there. Wherever two or three of us are gathered, Jesus is here with us. Just think, if we take this promise of Jesus' so seriously, the implications for how we behave are tremendous. What Jesus says in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, is that Jesus is in the room with us. Wherever we are gathered, Jesus is there. He is here with us when we worship. He is with us when we sit down for a church council meeting, or when we gather for a Bible study, or when we go out to do service in our community. Even when only two or three people gather, Jesus is there. And when you stand face to face with the person who has sinned against you, when you look in the eye of that person with whom you have a disagreement, Jesus is right there with you. This is one of those truths that is both a blessing and a challenge. Yes, Christ is present with us, thanks be to God. And yes, Christ is present with us, so we really ought to act like it. As Christians, we are called to a high standard of behavior. We are called to behave honorably, to be forthright, to address conflict directly and fairly. It's not easy. and Christ is present with us. When we try, Christ is present. When we fail, Christ is present. When we succeed even a little, Christ is present. Because where two or three are gathered in Jesus' name, he is there among them. Christ is with us. We should try to live like it. And in doing so, we remember that Jesus is the carpenter in that story earlier. That Jesus loves building bridges. And in this scripture reading today, Jesus provided us a model for restoration and makes it clear that we should be building bridges instead of fences. Our goal must be to build a bridge in every circumstance. Bridges between Christ and the lost, and the bridges between struggling brothers and sisters. Just remember that when we meet God face to face, God won't ask us what car we drove, but how many people we helped get where they needed to go. God won't ask us how big our house was, but how many people we welcomed into our home. God won't ask us what neighborhood we lived in, but how we treated our neighbors. And God won't ask us how many fences we made, but how many bridges we built. From the members of the Namekagon UCC in Earle, may you have a safe and blessed week. Tune in next Sunday at 10:30 a.m. for another message. And when we begin to meet in person for worship again, I hope you'll consider joining us. The United Church of Christ, a just world for all.